That's just like when little Sharon, I don't think Sharon ever made it today. I never have seen her. But whenever Sharon first came to us a few years ago, I used to call Sharon my basket case. You know, here she was, a beautiful woman in her 40s. Somebody had to drive her to a healing school. How would you like to be in your 40s? Somebody have to drive you to a healing school. Your brain tumors, your arm don't work, your hip don't work. You got allergies and back troubles, and you've been to the doctor every week for the last 27 years and have not been without pain for 27 years. Actually, I hadn't been without pain for 30. She came up to me and said, "Pastor, never heard this kind of teaching in my life. I'm a member of a big church here in Dallas, but I want you to know I've been prayed for by 100-plus people, and nothing has ever happened." I said, "Well, you didn't ever do it God's way then, young lady." I said, "First of all, what kind of sin were you living in 30 years ago when this come upon you?" Uh-oh. She said, "I was living with a boy." Now, how many of y'all know living with a boy that you ain't married to sin? You heard that, right? It's like we don't hear this. I don't know what we don't think there's a consequence about having sex out of wedlock. There's only one place God will accept a sexual relationship between a man and a woman, and that if they're married. You know, no other way. I don't care how you do it. He will not accept it. He will curse you if you do it any other way. He will curse you. But it's like the world don't believe that. Sharon didn't believe it. So she lived with this boy for a little while she was 18 years old and was in a car wreck. Had no idea the car wreck brought a whiplash on was all done because of her disobedience to serve God. The car wreck is not an accident. It was a curse that was allowed to come upon her because of her sin. God was trying to get her attention. She ain't listening. But she has a car wreck. She gets a whiplash. And then she goes all these years and is prayed for. Goes to church. Prayed for. Gets worse, 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 worse. Now she's can't come to a healing school because she has to be driven. So somebody finally drives her and brings her over there. And when she comes up and tells me her situation, and I've been prayed for at least 100-plus times with no results. I said, "Well, number one, you never repented of the sin. The sin that allowed all this to happen is still there. So you need to go back, find the sin 30 years ago, repent." So she went back and repented. She told me what she had done. I said, "Okay, repent." So she repented. I said, "Okay, now then, what scripture did you use to base your faith on?" "Well, we didn't use one." I said, "And you see what you got. Without God's word and Him ready to perform His word, and He's ready to hasten to perform His word, if you don't have no word, what are you going to get? Nothing." So she said, "We didn't have the scripture." I said, "Okay, let's take one." So we found a verse that we could use to stand on. I said, "And the third thing, nobody's prayed for you in faith." You know, God's a faith God. How many of you know God's a faith God? Without faith, it is impossible to please me. Let's go to Hebrews 11:6 and let's read this scripture in Hebrews 11:6 and see what you got to do. Hebrews 11:6. "But without faith, it is impossible to please God." So if without faith it's impossible to please Him, this is the first thing you better learn what it is. Because if you ain't got it, you're in trouble. You're in big trouble. So it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Now what do you got to do? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Is it? Okay, so let me give you a real good example. This lady, your wife, you say? If you don't do nothing this next month to please this girl.
I'm in trouble.
Yeah, I didn't have to say a whole lot, did I? You know you're in trouble, right? So if you want her to be a good wife at home and fix supper for you and all them good things that she does, take care of your clothes and the house and everything, you've got to do something to make her happy, right?
Yes, sir.
You're smart enough to know that. I think you're an intelligent man. If you keep this girl happy, what will this girl do for you? Just about anything you ask her for, right? She's a pretty good girl. Yeah. So if it takes faith to please God, and if we don't please Him, then guess what we're going to get from Him? Nothing. That's exactly right. Nothing. You ain't going to get nothing. So without faith, it's impossible to please God. And then it come to him must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. See, that don't mean come to church 1 hour on Sunday morning, does it? And then go home watching football for 6 hours that Sunday afternoon. There is no comparison here, and God knows what you're doing. And that's why the guy that watches football for 6 hours on Sunday evening and spends one hour with God on Sunday morning, that's why he don't get a whole lot of his prayers answered. Because he's got a girlfriend. Oh, I'm sure that your wife wouldn't mind that if once in a while you were to just, you know, hang out with an old girlfriend. She wouldn't mind that at all, would she?
She would.
She would. This guy's smart, let me tell you what. He's learned what a lot of men don't learn. A lot of men never learn that principle. But when you do learn that, and you learn that, hey, if you want your life to be good at home with your wife, you got to put that girl first. You got to be that sweetheart of a husband. She's got to be madly in love with you. And she ought to be, on a regular basis, she ought to walk up and say, you know, I'm so glad I'm married to you. You know, you're such a great man. Now, if you girls haven't learned that about your husbands, your husband, he really don't care if you come up and give him a birthday card, you know, or a Valentine card. He could care less. Now, you better not fail to give her one because she wants one. You got to give her one because she likes Valentine cards. She likes birthday cards. She likes for you to tell her how much you love her, how beautiful she is. She'd never tell you you're beautiful. You don't care. It don't make no difference. That ain't a big deal to you. But men love it when the wife says, oh, you fixed my car for me so good, or you fixed that room or that tile that was broken. You done such a good job fixing that. I'm so glad I'm married to you. He loves that. And if you don't tell your husbands that, you know, next time you ask him to do something, if you didn't say thank you the last time, he may say, well, I'll get to it when I can. You know. But see, I mean, I'm serious. That's the way men and women are made. You need to learn that. Men love compliments from their wife, and women love for their husband to tell them they're beautiful and that they love them. You know, and that's the way it is. And so when we learn all these things and do these things, it's just exactly like God is. When God says, without faith, it's impossible to please me. You come to me without faith, and you ain't going to get nothing. And somebody said, well, we're going to pray for you. Now, if it's God's will, maybe he'll do this for you. You know, oh, Lord, I'm going to pray for you. You come up here and I'm going to say, you don't have to repent of your sins. You've been living in sin. That's okay. God understands. He's a gracious God. Now, you ever heard those kind of things?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's wrong. Yeah, he's a gracious God. And you're still alive to prove he's a gracious God. Because I'll tell you, there's been several times, if I'd have been God, I've told lots of them, if I'd have been God, I'd have killed a whole bunch of you, guarantee. So you better be glad I ain't God. So he's much more merciful than me. Is there a time when you was raising all these children up that you wanted to get them?
Yeah,
there'd been one or two, huh? There probably was one or two. You did get them, right? They always are doing something we don't like. And there's times when God... if he wasn't gracious and merciful, I got a feeling his two old boys right here wouldn't be here. You know that? And me and you, right? And all the rest of these boys in here probably could say, well, I'm another one. So we're glad he's a gracious and merciful God. But when you come to him, if you come to him and you don't repent of your sins and you're sick and afflicted, he has already put something on you and you didn't listen. And so now you're sick and afflicted. So if you don't find what it was and repent of it, and then come to him and say, Lord, you made me this promise right here. Now then I'm going to come to you and I'm going to repent and I'm going to ask you by faith to heal me. Now then, let's go and see what he says happens in James chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. After he said in Hebrews 11, 6, without faith it's impossible to please me. I want you to see what he says in James 1, 6 and 7. But when you ask, you must ask in what?
Faith.
Total belief that he will do what he said in his word. It says, how much wavering?
None.
Now, isn't that something? You can't waver at all and get anything from God? Well, Thurman, I'm going to come down. I'm going to repent of my sins, and I'm going to ask you to pray for me. And today is Saturday, and I've got an appointment with the doctor. It's Thursday, and if I don't feel better by Thursday, I'm going to go in, and I'm going to let the doctors go ahead and check me out to see if I'm okay or not. How much faith did you have?
None.
That's right, none. You better go ahead and go to the doctor. I'm serious. You know, that's why so few people walk in faith. I mean, it is so tough. I mean, just like when Johnny Brumfield on that number one DVD back there on the Testimonies of Miraculous Healing, Johnny Brumfield, he's a black man from Manny, Louisiana. And when I went down there a few years ago and preached the Word of God, while I walked, they brought Johnny in, put him on the front row there, took him out of his wheelchair, and set him down there from waist to ankles, had steel braces on both legs. I walked over after I prayed for Norma, or after I laid hands on Norma Garcia and God instantly healed her. I walked over here and I said, "Sir, what's wrong with you?" He said, 21 months ago, a great big tree, this big around, fell across the tractor I was driving in, fell across my legs and crushed both of my legs. He said, took them an hour and a half to cut me out of there. They flew me to Shreveport. I was in ICU 30 days. They done surgery on me, put pins and screws and everything else, my knees, my legs and everything else. And I never walked a step in 21 months, and the doctor said, "I won't never walk again." I said, "But sir, faith moves the hand of God. Does it? But without faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything from the Lord." That's pretty clear, isn't it? If I don't ask him in faith, what am I going to get?
Nothing.
Do I want something? Yes. So I'm going to ask in faith. So I said, "Sir, let me show you or tell you what John 14, 13 and 14 says." James is going to put us there, John 14, 13 and 14. Look at these two promises. Now this will only work if you're in obedience to His Word. You can't be living in sin. He ain't going to answer this. "And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it."
Amen.
What kind of limitation did God give His obedient children? I knelt down in front of Johnny Brumfield right here on the front row, put my hands on his knees, and I said, "Sir," and I quoted those two verses. I said, "Do you believe that?" He looked at me and he said, "Sir, I'm a Southern Baptist, and if God put it in that book, I believe it." I said, "That's the kind of faith God's looking for." So I laid hands on him, crushed knees. Now, what did he say I could ask for there?
Anything.
Now, this man's got two crushed knees.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website. Or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.